With me to that last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, before Dan Brown sings for us, before the message, I'd like to introduce the message again by reading the verses that we read in chapter 2, beginning verse 8. Tim read our text earlier this morning, verse 10, but we'd like to read just this is the shortest of the epistles written to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Message is given to them, each of them, personally by the Lord Jesus Christ, and so they were very important. But they not only were given to those seven churches, they were given to the church, of the churches of all ages. We can get a message from each of these two that applies to us today. But look at verse 8 of chapter 2 of Revelation, the Revelation, chapter 2, verse 8. We read, "And unto the angel," or the messenger, being the pastor of the church — word angel simply means messenger in this context — "these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." That's, of course, is a reference that Jesus referred to himself as the first and the last. He said in chapter 1, verse 18, "I am the first and the last, and I am he that liveth and was dead." So this is just, he's referring to himself, identifying himself as the one who's writing these words. "I know thy works." This is to the church at Smyrna. "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, which that he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Smyrna was a proud city. It was one of the cities in Asia Minor, about 30 miles north of the city of Ephesus, the city to which the first letter was written. We won't read that, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It was sometimes called itself the glory of Asia. It was a center of Caesar worship of that day, the eastern part of the Roman Empire. It was the birthplace of the Greek poet Homer. And to the average person of Smyrna, they were the first and the last. They were so strategic. It was a great port city. And so they were proud. It was a city that was advanced for its day. It had beautiful wide streets, paved streets, ran at right angles, each from the other. And it was a very great place of pagan worship. There were all sorts of temples built there. It was a city of great population at that time. Today, by the way, it's one of the few cities of the seven that survived to modern times. It's a Turkish city. It's called Izmir in today's world, but it was the same city, Smyrna. So it began at seaside and ran the cities ran the entire length of the city out to Mount Pagos, or the Acropolis was there. One of the most impressive sites in human history was this site, Mount Pagos. And so they were a rich city in some ways, but not the believers who were there, as we read. They were proud. They had a large population, a well-planned city. And this is the city where there were believers to whom Jesus wrote a special message, the church at Smyrna. No city in the east, one writer said, had the impression, the glory, the magnificence of the city of Smyrna. It claimed to be, and rightfully so, the most beautiful Greek city in the world. That's quite a statement, but that was Smyrna of the first century. So these believers who lived in this city, they lived in a megapolis. They lived in a wonderful city, a beautiful city, city of pagan worship, though, steeped in paganism. They had heard the gospel. They had gotten saved. They formed a church. And it says here in the text, they were going to be persecuted. They were going to have severe persecution. Many of them would die. He said they're going to have 10 days of persecution. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Those days represent, many Bible teachers believe, periods of time, beginning with the first emperor Nero, under whose edict Paul the Apostle lost his life. Polycarp was a student of John the Baptist. John the Baptist mentored him, Polycarp, ancient church father. He was executed in this city, in the great stadium that was built there in about 185 AD. So that's kind of a little historical background. As you read this letter with me, this brief letter, kind of put yourself back there. It's really not unlike cities today, like our city. We live in a city that's pretty affluent by the world standards. We have 70,000 NRA members downtown this weekend. They're going to leave $35 million behind, they said. Well, that's quite a bit of money. We have nice streets, well-planned streets. We have a stadium downtown where thousands of people can congregate. We have places of worship all over the place. We have pockets of Christians like this. We have bigger groups too, but we have smaller groups also that meet in Jesus' name and worship. And we've not come under the axe that these people were promised and that many of them did come under. In fact, it's estimated that 5 million Christians in this era lost their lives for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So 10 periods of persecution, beginning with Nero and ending with the 10th emperor, and Constantine then declared Christianity was legal. You can be a Christian and not be have your head chopped off for it. That was in about 300 years A.D. So there's a message here. And the message, by the way, let me just give you a clue before Danny comes sing. The message is in verse 10. And I want just a couple of words is what I'm going to zero in on today. I preached from this passage all the letters to the seven churches several times, I'm sure, over the course of the years. And I preached this message too, not quite this message. But this is the message that I get out of this text that I need, I think I need today, and I think we need today. And it's found in verse 10. Three words, actually. Be thou faithful. We could expand it. Be thou faithful unto death. Don't give up. Be faithful. Oh, there's something, and there's just a lot to be said for somebody that's going to be faithful, committed, standing tall and true for Jesus Christ until your last breath. Be faithful. Many people start out that way, and boy, when the tribulation comes, or when the heat is turned up, the persecution, they begin to fall away. The cares of this world, by the way, there was many cares of the world in Smyrna that could have tempted these people and did tempt, I'm sure, many of them. We'll talk about a little bit of that just a little more in a moment. But first of all, let's listen as Dan. So this message is in our text today, just four simple things. And we're going to have the Lord's table at the conclusion of this message. So number one, notice what Jesus said in verse 8. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I want to just say that he's saying in that verse, or that simple statement, is his introduction to the letter to the church of Smyrna. He's saying, listen up, or listen. Listen carefully. I have something to say. And by the way, he said, I am the first and the last. You may think you're the first and the last. You may think you got it all together. You got a great city here. You have the eyes of the world upon you. You are the envy of most of the Greek world. You are the beautiful city. You have a great place to live in, but listen, you're not the first and last. You don't really have it all together. You've got something to listen to learn from the lips of your Savior. I am the first and the last. And by the way, I'm he that liveth. I was dead, and I'm alive. So he just wants to command our attention. Just put your ears on. Jesus has something to say to Smyrna, to these people that were living in this wealthy place, in this beautiful place, spacious place, well-ordered city. And it's easy to get caught up in that and think, well, we've got it made. We don't need anything. We don't need God. We are the first and the last on anything. Starts here and ends here. We're self-sufficient, self-contained. We're a great city. Listen up. Number two, he says, consider your plight. He said, I know that you are, I know your works and your tribulation, poverty. I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not. This is verse 9, but are the synagogue of Satan. Your plight is, it's going to be, if it's not already, tribulation. Verse 10, you shall have tribulation. You're going to suffer. Don't fear those things, but you will suffer. And some of you are going to give your life. So he just outlines simply their plight. In the midst of all of this abundance and wealth and riches and wonderful place, there's a group of believers here, true believers, who are going to suffer tribulation. You're going to suffer physical sufferings. You're going to suffer poverty. And many of them already were suffering this. It's not that it's going to come. For many, it had already come. They had lost their jobs. They had lost their families. They had been excommunicated because of their faith in Christ. And so he says, I know your poverty. And by the way, that's just, it's not that they were having hard times making their bills, paying their bills. It was abject poverty. They were as poor as you could get. They had nothing. They had nothing. Poverty stricken. That's the emphasis there. Now he says in parentheses, but you're really rich because you're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and you are accepted in the Beloved. Spiritually, you are as rich could be, but physically, materially, right now, temporally, you're in poverty, abject poverty. I know that. I know your suffering. I know your tribulation. And so he talks about their plight, but he also, as I said, gives a plea, and we've seen that in verse 10 also, be faithful unto death. Just determine, I'm going to be faithful, I'm going to stand for Jesus. If I die with nothing, this was Paul's mentality, and by the way, he died under Nero, as I've probably said already. He gave his life willingly and gladly for Christ's sake, that he could win people. Preached the gospel everywhere. And came out of the, gave his life for Jesus Christ. There was a young man whose name was Eric Liddell. He was born in Tianjin, China in 1902. His parents were Scottish. They were missionaries. He had a career of, he was a great runner. He appeared in the Olympic Games in 1924. Young man. He won the 400 meter event. He returned to China after the games, and he became a teacher and spent his whole life teaching children, encouraging young people to make their best contributions to the betterment of mankind. In the eyes of many people, Eric's greatest achievements were in the sports arena. He was a great runner. He won many medals. And I think there's been a movie made of his life, and he took a stand for Christ and paid a price, too, for that. But he came back, taught in China, the country in which he was born. He lived there. He loved the people there. He gave his life there. And for what will he be remembered? Well, maybe some will remember him for his great achievements in the sports arena, but He has left a testament of faithfulness. He'd committed his life to Christ as a young man. He would not race on Sunday, and I think it knocked him out of one of the Olympics, great contest. But he will. And there's there's a memorial to his memory in the prison camp in China where he died, a relatively young man, died in 1945, 43 years of age. He gave his life. What are you going to be remembered by? Your great intellect, your wealth, your achievements, your degrees, your social standing, What are you going to be remembered by? You're building a monument today that will be here when you're gone. It's going to be either to the glory of God, or to the glory of Jesus, or to your own glory. Or maybe we'll not be remembered by anybody for anything, but marked down by God as a faithful person. Be faithful. Be faithful. You're going to suffer. You're going to lose what you have. You're going to lose your life eventually. You're going to lose everything you have. But just commit yourself to being faithful. Somebody asked D.L. Moody. They came to him and said, "Why do you preach so hard? Why do you try to win people to Christ? Don't you know the world's getting to be a better place to live?" Well, that's not today. That was in D.L. Moody's day. They thought the world after World War I was going to be and so they formed the League of Nations, and boy, we've got the answer to the world's problems, and it's going to be a better place now. We're getting better, and that was a dream. That was a pipe dream drummed up by humanistic thought. It didn't get better. And World War II didn't make it any better, and we've had wars ever since, and it's not getting better. It's getting worse every passing year, it seems like. More godless. But they said to Moody, "Why do you do this?" And Moody said, in answer to the question, "I picture the world's a wrecked vessel drawing nearer and nearer to destruction. And God gave me a lifeboat and said, 'Here, Moody, save all you can.'" And he won 1 million souls to Christ, it is said. Do what you can. Save all you can. Make your life count for eternity and be faithful. So he said, consider your plight. Consider this plea. And by the way, he gave a promise. Notice in verse 10, the last phrase, "I will give you a crown of life." That word there suggests a crown of victory. Paul said, "I'm going to give my life for Jesus Christ. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me. And not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing," Paul said. And so we have a crown waiting for us, a crown of life. I think a crown of life here was promised to these people. If you be faithful unto death, anybody can do that. You don't have to be especially smart or successful or charismatic or brilliant or know all the Bible. You just have to be faithful. Just be he that is faithful in the least, Jesus said. In the least. What's the least? Well, attendance to basic things, reading the Bible, praying every day, serving God, ministering to people, being faithful in church attendance, just the basics of Christian living. We're not going to be D.L. Moody or Apostle Paul, but you can be you and I can be me, and we can be faithful where we're at. And these people, their names were not written in the lights or in books even. We don't know them by name, but we know that they were living in a difficult place, probably more difficult than we face, I'm sure, much more difficult than we hope that we'll ever face. But they were faithful. Be faithful. I think they took Jesus because they said, I'd like to receive the promise of a crown to cast at Jesus' feet. Chapter 4, verse 11. I'd like to have a crown that he places, that gives me a crown of victory, a crown of overcoming that I could place at Jesus' feet and worship him. That's a tremendous goal. Listen up, consider. Respond. Respond to the blasphemy. He says, I know there's blasphemy here. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. By the way, that wasn't new. Paul dealt with that back in the book of Romans. He says, you blaspheme the name of God. You say you claim to be Jews and you are outwardly just as white as a tombstone. But inwardly, you're full of dead men's bones. He didn't say this, Jesus did, but he could have said it because he said, you are blaspheming the way you live against God Almighty. And you say you're Jews, outwardly you are, but a Jew is not one who's just one outwardly. He's one inwardly. He believes, and you don't have it inside. You just have it outside. You've got it all together outwardly as a Jew, but you're blaspheming by your life. And so these people were still around, and when Jesus gave this message to John to give to the church in about 90 AD, he says, I know the blasphemy of them. Say they're Jews. They're not, but they're of the synagogue of Satan. That's just religion in the name of Satan, just religion. So he says, there's religion, there's satanic efforts, so resist that. He says, stand against the blasphemy, reject religion at its face, be alert, be real, be yourself, be Christ-like. Just respond, which brings my fourth point quickly, and that is act. Okay, we respond. Okay, I want to stand. I want to be faithful. I want to reject religion because it's phony, it's false, it's outward, it's external, it doesn't have my heart. I want to be true inside. If I believe that, if I'm ready to take that kind of a stand and be faithful, then the last thing I want to do is act. And that's where I want to come back to the word be faithful. Act upon it. Do something. Be real. Be genuine. Be who you say you are. If you're a believer, if you're committed to Christ, live that way. Be faithful. Full of faith is what faithful means. Full of faith. Believe God's word, whatever it says is so, and then act upon it. That's what it means to be faithful. It's going to cost you something. It costs these people everything. It costs them their families, their jobs, their everything, their status in society. They were outcasts. They were the scum of the earth. Not too many people want to pay that price, but they did. We don't know what kind of price we're going to pay, but if we take a stand on the word of God and believe in Jesus, he'll take care of us. He said, don't fear these things. Fear none of those things which you will suffer. I'll be with you. I will give you grace, and I will give you dying grace when you die, if you die. And I will give you grace to make it through this one day. That's all you have to make it through is today. No matter what the trials or opposition or resistance, just make it through today. Stand for God today. So be real. Be real. If you say you're a believer, live like a believer should live. Don't try to straddle the world one foot here and one foot in God's with God's people and one foot in the world. That's going to cause terrible confusion and terrible compromise and terrible judgment. You will die trying to do that. Just get on God's side. Be real. Do right. Whatever the Bible says is so, do it. The Bible says witness, witness. If the Bible says love, love. If the Bible says be patient, be patient. If the Bible says minister to people, minister to people. Whatever the Bible says, get into the word and see what God says. And then set yourself out to do it. To do it just not to make a splash, not to make a name. Not to build a monument to yourself, but just do it because you want to be faithful to God. He's been so good to me. I want to be faithful to him. I want to be full of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why you can't get enough of the Bible inside of you. You can't read it too much. You can't hear it preached too much. You can't be around it in it too much. Get into the word and stay there. And get with people who are in the word so you'll grow by them. Be in Sunday school on Sunday morning. What a good way to spend 45 minutes in the Word of God, learning more about the Bible, and seeing insights that other people have, and your teachers have, and your classmates have. Be in Sunday school. Our Sunday school is not growing, it's going down, because some of you could be in Sunday school and you haven't been. Be there. If you're able to come to church, you're able to come to Sunday school. I believe in Sunday school, by the way. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing to have a fellowship of a smaller group of people where you study and get into and dig and get insights. But just be there. Be faithful. Do right. Live under the direction and control of the Holy Spirit of God. He is within you. He counsels you. He comforts you. He guides you. He teaches you. Oh, how can we live without the Spirit of God? Be yielded to the Spirit. And then glorify God through His church. We're one of His churches. We're an appendage. His body is universal. The church that Jesus died for, comprised of all believers of all ages. We're just one body, one local assembly. But we are one local assembly. And we would never minimize the importance of that. We have a great mission. That's to win this community to Jesus Christ. That's to let our light so shine before men that they will see our works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. We have a great commission. There's nothing more important in this world than glorifying God in and through His church. He died for the church. He gave His life for the church. And to be a part of the church, that's better than being part of any organization man-made. That's greater than being a part of any great assembly that's assembled on some human effort. Oh, no, this body here, the believers, the Church of Jesus Christ, stands supreme over any other organism known to mankind. I didn't say organization. We're a body, a living body. Oh, we need to be a part of it. This is how God, Ephesians 3:20, is getting glory today. It's through His church. And if you're not a part of it, if you're not helping it move forward, if you're not praying for it, if you're not being an active member in it, then you're missing out on the blessings that God wants you to have. And you're withholding from others blessings that you could be a part of. So glorify Him. I think all that's included in be thou faithful. Unto death. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't give in. Stand. Suffer, yes. But still be faithful. Tribulations, to be sure. But still be faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. Having done all to stand. Father, bless this challenge to be faithful to the church at Smyrna, to our hearts today. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of serving you. Thank you for the privilege of being faithful. We are so unfaithful. We'd have to confess it. We're so weak. But we intend to do better. We intend to be attentive to the basics, to the small things. That's where we are going to trip up. It's just letting something go that we used to hold to be dear. A time with you, prayer time, devotions, time with believers, Wednesday night prayer meeting. Just letting things slip, drifting a little bit at a time so that it's almost so imperceptible we didn't even know we were drifting. Oh God, help us please to be faithful. To be faithful. Take this message to heart. To be faithful. Even unto death. Whatever it takes. However long, we want to be faithful. Even unto death. Knowing that you will make things right. And we will have waiting for us a crown of life. Oh, we thank you for that promise. Use the message to stir some hearts up today. For Jesus' sake, I pray. With thanksgiving. Amen.